Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Hotline. I'm your host, TJ, and today we are covering WCW Nitro from October 23rd, 1995, live from Huntsville, Alabama. This was the go-home show before their big event of October, Halloween Havoc. Now, there is a whole lot to go over in this episode. Three big, big matches and a couple huge events, so we'll try to cover everything we can, but let's get into it. This is going to be fun. Right off the bat, as soon as Nitro came on, they're already in the ring. They already have Kurosawa with Colonel Parker. He's in the first match, and he'll be taking on the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And as soon as Macho gets in the ring, he's doing his macho thing, kind of taunting and stuff, takes off his jacket, and Parker's kind of like just in the ring, talking to him, like talking smack. And Macho Man pushes him, just immediately pushes Colonel Parker, kind of like a get out of here, get out of my face type of thing. And Kurosawa just took it personal, I guess, and started beating the crap out of Macho. And he just worked him. The entire match was just Kurosawa working on the arm, on his left arm in particular. Just really working at him, just takes him to the outside, beats on him a little bit, throws him back in the ring, beats on him. Macho's getting no offense, and it's just a lot of arm bars and stuff like that. Arm bars, punches, kicks, just the typical Kurosawa stuff. Well, Macho is in like a standing arm bar, and ends up grabbing the back of Kurosawa's head and pushes him towards the ropes and kind of clotheslines him, but kind of drops his throat right across that top rope, and it chokes him. And Kurosawa turns around, he's like holding his throat, and Macho hits him with a big clothesline to the back of the head, knocks Kurosawa down, goes up to the top rope, hits the big flying elbow, 1, 2, 3. Macho Man wins with literally hitting 2, maybe 3 moves if you count the choke line thing or whatever you want to call it. So after that, what was funny about it is that as soon as Macho got the win, Colonel Parker was on the outside of the ring, and he's stomping, and he got his hat off, and he's flailing his arms around, like he is so super duper upset at it. Macho jumps out of the ring right away, and like kind of starts heading towards the back, and they show Kurosawa in the corner being held back by Parker after a second or two, once he gets out to the ring and realizes what happened, and Zawa has like this deranged, crazed look in his eyes. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. But yeah, your winner, Macho Man Randy Savage. This match was kind of boring, to be perfectly honest. It was like, and I like both guys. I like Kurosawa and I like Macho. But Kurosawa was just, there was no real story. It was just, I'm going to beat you up. Oh, okay, that's right. You're supposed to win. And then they just flip it real quick and that was it. It went on a little long. There was a commercial break halfway through the match. And I was like, oh, maybe they're going to, like, we come back and then Macho starts to do some moves. No, nothing. And, like, it wasn't one of those where, like, the good guy's getting beat up and then hits a couple offensive moves and then gets knocked right back down. It wasn't even that. Like, Macho would stand up or duck a clothesline or, like, for instance, they were on the outside and Kurosawa threw him into the ring post and went for, like, a standing or a kick or something to his head. And Macho ducked and Kurosawa just connected shin to ring post. And that was it. And I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. Here goes Macho back. Nope, nothing. Like, Macho didn't do any offense except for the very last three things of the match. After that, they go ahead and they go back to the commentating table, which, of course, is Bobby the Brain Heenan, Eric Bischoff, and Steve Mongo McMichael in this ugly-ass, like, denim cowboy shirt, I guess. And then he had little Fifi or Pepe or whatever that stupid dog's name was. And he's got like a little leather or a denim shirt that matches Mongo's. It was, I'm so sick of the stupid dog. Just get rid of it. The dog's annoying. Mongo sucks at commentating. He is awful. Just absolutely awful. He, throughout the entire night, he kept throwing jabs at Bobby Heenan for no reason. Like none whatsoever. And you could tell Heenan kind of got fed up with it towards the night and even made a joke during the main event about how, because they're asking, I'll get into it a little bit later, they're asking about this thing, and Heenan was like, oh yeah, it's like this big, ugly, gross monster thing, you know, kind of like what Steve Mongo McMichael takes out on dates. And Mongo's like, oh, oh yeah, and had no comeback whatsoever. Just got demolished, completely demoralized by it. And it was hilarious. It's like, finally, Bobby Heenan's just like, you know what? Gloves off. I'm taking this idiot down. And that's what he did, and it was great. But anyway, the three guys are up there talking, and they're pumping up how Hogan's in the building, and the Giant's in the building, and the Dungeon of Doom's in the building, and there's no restraining orders. There's no there's nothing really to keep them apart legally. They can just go at it. So they're talking about that stuff. They're talking about Halloween Havoc. They're talking about the main event. Nothing too bad, just things we already knew. And then the lights go out. They're completely out. It's pitch black. And you hear a laugh. And they're just like, what is that? And it's the gatekeeper of the Dungeon of Doom talking about how... And he's up on like this giant pedestal up higher in the building. And they show him on like monitors and stuff. And he starts talking about how Sullivan... Or he's kind of telling Sullivan that... The insurance policy is ready and that it'll be there at Halloween Havoc. And they show this giant, like ice block type of thing. And the gatekeeper went on way too long. That he was talking, it was nonsense. It was hard to understand what he was saying. It was just bizarre, super, super bizarre. And it didn't do anything. It completely slowed the show down. I was half paying attention to it at like a minute into his thing. He went on for like a couple minutes, and it's just, I started losing interest. I was like, what is this guy babbling on about? Come on, get over with, dude. Well, anyway, he eventually gets to the point of, we took it. We found the block of ice. It's ready. It'll be thawed out. He'll be, the insurance policy will be there come Halloween Havoc. And then he kind of stops and is like, okay, that was weird. Then they cut to Mean Gene, who's standing by with the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, and the Giant. And he asks Sullivan, hey, what's going on? And Sullivan's like, you know what? Like, yes, I was the insurance policy is finally there. We're good to go. Inside of it is the Yeti. And he's going to be the one that takes out Hulk Hogan and kills Hulkamania forever and all that stuff. Then they talk to the Giant. Giant's like, yeah, I'm going to destroy you, and then I'm going to take your title. The typical, like, just bad guy stuff. Nothing of substance. Nothing too weird this time around. Just the basic stuff. And then they go to commercial. They come back from commercial, and Mean Gene's in the ring, and he calls out the world heavyweight champion, Hulk Hogan. Now, Hogan comes out, and right away, first of all, when they announced Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene said, we're back on WCW Nitro. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the star of Thunder and Paradise, Hulk Hogan. Now, of all the accolades Hulk Hogan has, the star of Thunder and Paradise is the one that Gene went with. Not the current WCW heavyweight champion. Not the man who's going to meet the Giant in the Machine versus Machine match at Halloween Havoc 6 days away. Not whatever. Any of that stuff. He could have said anything about Hogan right there. But he went with the star of Thunder in Paradise. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it really, really did. Probably because I haven't heard the term or the title Thunder in Paradise in such a long time, up until right now when I watched the episode, that it blew my mind. I was like, wow, that was the thing. Hogan was like an action star on some like terrible movie. And I think it turned into a TV show too, or maybe it was something else. But yeah, I forgot all about that, man. It was funny to me. But anyway, they talk to Hogan, and Hogan's out there dressed all in black again with the neck brace on and everything. And they're like, what are you going to do? And Hogan's like, you know what? I fear nothing. Though I walk through the shadow of the Dungeon of Doom, I fear no man. Like, he actually said that. And it was like, I'm not scared of nobody. Smack the Giant in his face. I'll kick Sullivan in the butt. Like, whatever. I don't care. Screw him all. And then he, for whatever reasons, takes a shot at the other guys. At Sting, Macho, and Luger, saying, hey, we were all a team together. We were all cool. We were all buddies. And then all of a sudden, when I'm hurt, you vultures are start circling the carcass that is Hulk Hogan. And start pecking at it, trying to be better. Like, Sting's growing out the mustache, and he's wearing the red and yellow. And Macho wants a shot, and Lex Luger's just being him, and he's trying to take it. So if any of you cowards want some after Halloween Havoc, you just step in line, brother. I got you. I will take you out too. Like, just straight up calls out Sting, Macho, and Luger. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy cow, that's crazy. But then Mean Gene brings it back to Halloween Havoc. He's like, okay, we understand you're mad at that, but what are you going to do about the Giant? He's like, I can't wait to take the Giant. I got my boy making me a brand new Harley, and I'm going to tie the Giant to the back of it, and I'm going to drag him off on the back of that Harley till he's nothing but dust, till he incinerates and is nothing, brother. And I was like, holy crap, Hogan means business. And then he said something right at the end of this interview that confused me. And it confused me really, really bad. He said, I think after this is over, I'm going to keep on these black gloves because you don't know what's going to happen when, or because you know what happens when a man with black gloves and a black do-rag, nothing can stop him, or something to that effect. It was very, very weird the way he said it and the way he worded it. Like, I don't know what he meant by it, but I was like, oh, cool, I guess. That's a thing you said. Right on. After that super weird interview, they go to commercial break, and they come back with our second match of the night. It's going to be a tag team match between Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, taking on Eddie Guerrero and what was supposed to be Alex Wright, but he's injured, and it turned out to be Mr. JL instead. So we got Malenko and Benoit versus Guerrero and JL, and Alex Wright came out with them. And even though he's injured and can't wrestle tonight, he's still in his gear, which that will always not only confuse me, but drive me insane. Like, Alex is on crutches. His knee's all taped up. He's on crutches. He's obviously not going to wrestle. Why are you in your gear? Why are you in your gear? Why did you sit there and be like, well, I better get ready just in case I can, but my knee is still bummed, and then come out on crutches? Dude, you can wear the jacket. You can take off the shirt if you want to show off your physique. That's fine. Wear a pair of jeans with it. Wear a pair of slacks. Do something like where it's like, yo, obviously he can't wrestle. I hate that. I've always hated that, and I always will. I will never not like that. It'll always drive me crazy. It's like, yo, you're not wrestling. You know you're not wrestling. You're not on the card. You're injured. You're on crutches. Why do you have your gear on? Just stop it. Stop doing that, please. Ugh. Drives me insane. Anyway, so the match starts off, and Eddie and Benoit started off, and they just do their basic chain wrestling stuff. Nothing too exciting, just basic chain, hold for hold, kind of I slap you, you slap me, I throw you, you throw me, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Typical Eddie Benoit stuff. Like, if you've seen one of their matches, even the match from, I think, last week or the week before, same type of thing. It starts off, and they just kind of get into it. It was fun. Then Benoit tags in Dean, and they kind of, they do a couple double teams moves to Eddie Guerrero, or they try to, but Eddie ends up rolling out of the ring. And when he rolls out, Dean Malenko jumps over the top rope, hits him with a crossbody. And it was pretty cool. And then as soon as he hits him, he picks up Eddie, and he's got some, like, he's holding him from behind, and Benoit comes flying with a suicide dive, but Eddie jumps out the way, and Benoit just lays out Dean Malenko, just wham, that was it. I was like, holy crap, like, it was crazy. So anyway, they get back into the ring, and this time, or Eddie gets back into the ring, and now Mr. JL's in the ring. And Mr. JL's running at Eddie Guerrero, and Eddie kind of picks him up and throws him like you would throw a toddler into the pool, or a child into the pool, should I say? Obviously when they can swim. But the way, like, you just kind of pick him up and throw him, he kind of did that and threw JL over the top rope onto both Dean and Chris. It was awesome. It was actually really, really cool looking. I was like, oh, that's a spot you don't see often. Right on. So anyway, they get that. They throw him back in the ring, and it's Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero going back at it. Again, another back and forth. They're kind of beating each other up. Mr. JL gets the tag, and he ends up kind of working over on Dean Malenko. And they do like a, as soon as he tags in JL, Dean gets thrown into the corner, and JL runs and at Eddie. And Eddie kind of does like a, I don't know what to call it, like a leapfrog toss. He like kind of picks up, as JL's coming at him, he jumps, and Eddie kind of grabs him from like the back of his legs and throws him up over his head. And hits Dean Malenko with like a flying knee dropkick type of thing. It looked pretty cool. I just don't know exactly what to call it, like the actual toss and everything. It was very weird, but it was cool. It was a pretty cool move. It was a couple. There's a couple good moves in this match that it's hard to describe without watching them, but they were awesome. They were just a lot of fun to watch. But anyway, after they hit that that double team knee thing, Bischoff starts screaming that there's a fight in the back and something's going on in the back and blah, 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 all this stuff. And they do like a picture-in-picture thing, and they show Scott Norton and the Shark just beating the crap out of each other in the locker room. I have no idea where this came from. It made no sense whatsoever. The only thing they can think about or mention was that these two, maybe Scott Norton is still upset at the Shark from falling, like getting knocked out and falling on Norton's legs back in September when Norton took on the Macho Man. I believe it was the September 11th episode, like maybe like episode two or three. Episode two of the podcast. And yeah, it was really weird, man. It was really weird. They went back there and they have him fighting, and Zodiac's just back there doing Zodiac things. I don't know what the hell, what he was trying to do. He was just waving his hands, just doing that stuff. They eventually get him separated, and they're still yelling and stuff. They go back to the match, and now Benoit and JL are in the ring. Benoit kind of has like a little bit of control on JL, tags in Dean. Dean goes in there, and they start beating everybody up. They go to or beating up on Mr. JL. They go to commercial. They come back. Now Benoit's back in the ring. JL still getting beat up. Benoit hits a superplex. Gets Mr. JL up on the top rope. Hits a big superplex off of that, which the announcers didn't even mention. They're just like, oh, yeah, and then Hollywood Havoc, blah, blah, blah. It was so obvious that Bischoff and Mongo didn't give two craps about this match. Not even a little bit. They were super disinterested. They only wanted to talk about Halloween Havoc and Hogan versus Giant. And that's it. Not giving this match the respect it deserved, because this was a great match. It was a lot of fun to watch. Just some great moves. And again, you got four really good wrestlers in this match. Why are you not trying to pump it up and create that second generation of guys? Nah, we'll just go ahead and keep talking about Hogan and the Giant. But Bobby Heenan was into it. He wasn't really talking about Hollywood Havoc too much. He would because it's his job, but you could tell he was really paying attention to the match, because every time something happened, he was like, oh, and really like excited about it for sure. But anyway, eventually JL ends up hitting Dean Malenko, because Dean Malenko gets tagged back in after the big superplex. They're kind of going at it. Dean throws him against the rope. JL hits a big spinning back elbow, and that's enough to get JL to crawl over and tag Eddie in for the hot tag. Eddie comes in. He starts taking out everybody. He starts beating on Benoit, beating on Malenko. He's just all fired up. He tries to hip toss Benoit, who reverses it, and then Eddie reverses that, and then Benoit ends up getting him and tosses him over the top rope in the far corner. But they both end up tumbling out because Eddie kind of grabs him and pulls him out. So they're both out. Meanwhile, Dean Malenko and JL are in the ring. Referee has no idea what's going on, who's the legal man anymore, because all four of them are kind of in the ring fighting. And then JL ends up throwing Dean against the ropes, and as he hits the ropes, it's right next to Alex Wright, and Alex Wright puts his crutch out and kind of trips up Dean Malenko a little bit. And with that little stutter step, JL jumps up and does like a hunakarana, but grabs onto the legs and goes for the pin, ends up getting the win, 1-2-3. So your winner was Eddie Guerrero and Mr. JL. Dean's obviously upset, Benoit's upset, but they go out there, the three guys, Eddie, JL, and Alex Wright, are all kind of celebrating whatever. They're high-fiving fans. JL and Alex Wright are kind of taking a little bit slower because JL's been beat up and Alex Wright's injured. But Eddie's walking up the entranceway, and he's like, yeah, and he looks back and he's like, where are my guys? And he's still kind of celebrating, happy about the win, and he gets blindsided by Brian Pillman out of nowhere. Like, for no reason whatsoever, Pillman just decides, I'm going to take out Eddie. Wham! Hits him from behind, picks him up, hits him with a big old DDT. And Eddie is laid out in the entranceway. JL and eventually gets up there, referee. They're checking on him. And Pillman is just throwing up the Four Horsemen Four. So it's like, okay, why? Pillman, I don't even think Pillman and Guerrero have had a match on Nitro yet. I could be wrong. I had to go back and look, but it was so weird. It was like, Pillman's just going to take out Eddie Guerrero for no reason. Like, I don't quite get it. I mean, maybe he's just trying to be like, look, I'm a psychopath. I'll attack anybody at any time. But to me, it made no sense whatsoever. And then he's throwing up the Four Horsemen logo, or the hand gesture, the four. And I was like, okay, cool. You're going to bring back the Horsemen, you and Arn, but You're not trying to get anybody else right now. You're just, you've been fighting with Ric Flair this whole time. Like, and like, I can understand if he attacked Sting because of what happened last week in the tag match, or Flair, obviously, if he was there, but just going after Eddie like that, that was, it just didn't make sense to me. And this is one of those episodes where there was so much going on, but not a lot of it really made sense. Like, they're just trying to, oh, we need to finish up some TV stuff or storyline stuff and start getting ready for the next one. And they just started throwing stuff at the wall and see if it stuck. And it could lead to a match at Halloween Havoc. I don't know. I haven't looked at the card yet. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's weird. It's going to be a good match between Pillman and Guerrero for sure. Those two are great. So it will be a fun one. But it was just very, very weird. But anyway, after that, they went to commercial. They come back, and it's time for your main event of the evening. It's going to be the Harlem Heat taking on the team of Lex Luger and the United States champion Sting. Now, Sting and Booker T start off. They're just kind of, again, just kind of wrestling, hold, doing their thing, like a little bit of chain wrestling. And Booker T ends up getting, receives a hip toss from Sting over the top rope. And I always forget this when I watch WCW, because I thought they had already done away with this by the time Nitro started, but I guess not. But Bischoff starts screaming that should be a disqualification. And Bobby's like, no, he didn't mean to do that, so it's okay. And Mongo's like, I don't know what wrestling is. This is weird. And I hate Mongo so much. Oh, God, I hate Mongo on announcing. Come on. I could keep going on about how much I don't like Mongo as a announcer, as a commentator, even as a wrestler. But it's just going to get boring. But, yeah, I apologize for how much I say how much I dislike Mongo McMichael. But anyway, it's supposed to be a disqualification. It wasn't for whatever reason. I hope that they kind of come to an understanding about whether it is or isn't soon and let the announcers know, because it's very confusing thinking, oh yeah, if they go over the top rope, it's a DQ, and then never seeing it. Like, you never see it happen. Not once. And we've seen somebody get tossed over the top rope many, many times. But anyway, Lex Luger ends up coming back in. Like, Sting tags in Luger, and it's Luger and Booker T kind of going at it. They go to commercial break, and when they come back, Stevie Ray is in there with Lex Luger and just working him over, like just beating him up. Stevie Ray has control, tags in Booker T. They end up fighting a little bit, and there's a lot of quick tags between Stevie Ray and Booker T, just in out. Well, Booker T was in, ends up hitting Lex Luger with the axe kick, which is awesome. Just that axe kick to the back. Lays him out. Then they cut over to looking at Sherry. And Sister Sherry is outside, and she's looking at these Polaroids. And they're like, what is that? And it's pictures of her and Colonel Parker together. And she's like kissing him and just, I miss my boyfriend and all that kind of stuff. That was kind of weird. I was like, all right, I forgot about that. I forgot that that was a thing, but okay. Because they haven't mentioned it since the pay-per-view, I don't think. Since War Games. Maybe one other time, maybe the Nitro right afterwards they mentioned it, but that was about it. Like, they really haven't mentioned, at least on Nitro, about Sister Sherry and Colonel Parker still being a thing. But anyway, go back to the ring. Booker T has Luger laid out, and he goes. Booker T goes for that flipping leg drop. I think he calls it the Harlem Hangover. I could be wrong. But he goes for that. Lex Luger dives out or rolls out of the way. Booker T's hurt. Lex ends up crawling over, finally tags in Sting, and Sting comes in and starts beating the crap out of Harlem Heat. Just bam, 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 punches and drop kicks and stuff. Ends up hitting the Stinger Splash on one, hits Stinger Splash on the other, which they had an amazing shot. Booker T was in the corner right next to where the cameraman was, and Sting runs over there, and he hits him with a clothesline, and it was front and center like you're right there. It was great. So I was like, yo, they need to do that for the Stinger Splash spot, which I know is coming up. Sting goes for the Stinger Splash, and they chose another camera to do it on. And I was like, are you kidding me? You have a perfect shot, and they didn't take it. It was, as a cameraman that does wrestling, it drove me crazy. It's like, you had a perfect shot. Sting coming at you, like literally coming through your set type of thing. You could put that on all the promo videos, and you didn't do it. Didn't use it. But anyway, Sting ends up getting, I think it was Stevie Ray down. No, I'm sorry, Booker T. They're both laid out in the ring. Sting goes for the Scorpion Deathlock, goes to turn it over, and that's when Stevie Ray comes in, like kind of hits on Sting. They start beating up on him. Lex Luger comes in, takes out Stevie Ray over to the corner. And they start, like, all four of them are kind of fighting. Booker T ends up throwing Sting out of the ring. Then then Harlem Heat double teams on Lex Luger, hits him with like a double suplex. Luger is out cold. Stevie is just pounding him, like just putting the boots to him, just straight up kicking the crap out of Luger. Booker T's kind of taunting. He turns around and there's Sting on the top rope, jumping at him, hits him with a huge, like clothesline forearm looking thing. It was pretty weird, but it looked good. And then gets the pin, like, or goes for the pin. 1, 2, 3. Sting and Luger are your winners. And what's weird is that, like, after Sting hit it, obviously there's that boom, the big loud thud from the impact on the ring. And Stevie Ray doesn't even turn around. He's still in the corner, just putting the boots to Lex Luger. And like I said, 1, 2, 3. The bell rings. That's when Stevie Ray's like, what the? And he turns around and sees that his brother just lost. He's like, oh, man. And before he could attack, Sting rolls out of the ring, pulls out Luger, and they're kind of celebrating on the outside. And it was a very awkward moment where, like, Sting and Luger are like, yay. Oh, wait, we need to be in the ring to celebrate. Okay. And they go back in the ring, and they start celebrating some more. Harlem Heat gets out, and the entire Dungeon of Doom comes out. And two or three of them are in the ring already. I want to say, like, Zodiac, maybe Kamala and Shark. Ed Sullivan was in there too, and the Giant came out. So the Dungeon of Doom's in the ring, and Giant just immediately goes right after Lex Luger. Grabs him by the throat. Boom, big choke slam. Sting has no idea what's going on. He's still taunting. He's celebrating his victory. He turns around, sees the Giant, and goes, oh, and Giant grabs him. Another big choke slam. And then the Macho Man comes out. He slides into the ring and kind of clears house. Starts beating up on the Dungeon of Doom. They all kind of get out. So it's just Macho and the Giant in there. And he's like, let's go, let's go. And they're like, they're getting ready to throw down. And all of a sudden, Hulk Hogan comes out. And Hulk walks down. He doesn't have the neck brace on. He's still in the black. He's like, let's go, brother, all that kind of stuff. Jimmy Hart's out there, like, on the side. And Macho was all for fighting the Giant. And the Giant is between Macho and Hogan when Hogan hits the ring. Hogan just, like, pushes the Giant's like, hey, big brother. Hey, you stinky Giant. And Giant turns around. He's like, you ain't going to do that to me. He does the finger thing to the Giant. And Macho runs over. He's like, no, 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 Hogan. You can't do this. You can't do this. And Hogan kind of looks at him. He's like, Savage, I've got this. You can go. It's me and the big brother now. Or it's just you and me, brother. And sure enough, the entire ring clears. It's the Giant and Hogan finally in the ring together. They're about to do this. And Hogan punches him. Boom. No avail. Giant doesn't do anything. Hogan hits him again. Boom. Nothing. Just doesn't even affect the Giant. Giant ends up grabbing Hogan, puts him in like a front headlock, and slams the arm down on the back. Takes Hogan right off his legs. Just boom. Right on the ground. And then Giant starts to celebrate. Just, yeah, I'm the best. You can't do anything. This is your hero. This is your immortal one. Whatever. Hogan eventually gets back to his feet, starts hulking up, hits the Giant a couple times. Grabs him from the back of the head, runs all the way to the other side of the ring, boom, and slams his head against the turnbuckle. And that's when Doug Dillinger comes out, and he's trying to get Hogan off of him, and they're trying to separate the two. And Dillinger, the head of security, has like a billy club in his hand, but I don't know what it looked like, just like a lead pipe or something. They kept calling it a billy club. And finally got him separate, him and Macho. Hogan's like, I don't care. Grabs Giant again, slams his head against another turnbuckle post or the turnbuckle pad. And Giant eventually kind of just goes out of the ring and they separate him. And all this commotion's going on. And everything's like, what's going to happen? Oh, like the Dungeon of Doom's around the ring. They're starting to leave. They're kicking at Sting, who's been down this whole time after the choke slam on the far side of the ring. And they're like, we're almost out of time. We got to get going. All this stuff. And then they're like, what's that noise? What's that sound? And it starts shaking. They're like, what is going on? And they cut back to the Giant ice sculpture. And the Yeti bursts through. Like, the front part just explodes. And the Yeti's like, rah, coming out. And they cut it away like that. And that's the end of Nitro. It was so abrupt. But such a tease. And I get why they did it. They wanted people to be like, who is this thing? What is this thing? What's going on? And you get a glimpse, maybe a second and a half to 2 seconds of him. When he punches through and he's comes out and he's raw, you just see the top half. You don't know anything. You just see the top half of this mummy-looking creature. And they go to black right away. So it's like, yo, we got to watch that pay-per-view. I got to see what that is. Like, that's insane. So, yeah, and that was the end of Nitro. That was it. Like I said, whole lot was going on. Crazy, nonstop, pretty much the entire time between the interviews and the matches. There was no real filler. But a whole lot of weird stuff, man. Whole lot of weird stuff. Like I said, the Colonel Parker, Sister Sherry out of nowhere. Pillman and Guerrero. The gatekeeper of the Dungeon of Dooms. Weird, weird promo thing. It was just a whole lot to comprehend and to take in one short hour of Nitro. But that'll do it for us this week. Not that short, pretty decent sized episode. They've been getting longer because I'm trying to give you guys more details into what's going on with Nitro. If you like it, let me know. If you'd rather it be shorter, let me know. This next episode will be coming out on Sunday because it'll be the Halloween Havoc episode. And we'll still have your regular episode, just like Monday, just like Nitro, every single Monday. The hotline's going to be there too. As always, I thank you guys for listening. Please let us know what's going on. Let us know where you're listening from. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, everything about the podcast. We love to hear from you. Just hit us up on Twitter at call 1-900-909-9900. Please leave us a review on iTunes, on Spotify, on wherever you can leave a review. Subscribe, let us know. Thumbs up on YouTube. Anything you do to help out the podcast is truly, truly appreciated by myself and everyone behind the scenes who does this. Until next time, we will see you guys on Sunday for Halloween Havoc. Be safe out there, have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on the Hotline.